Welcome to the Life's a Pitch podcast, the show where we pitch the best movies that will never get made. I'm Tom McGrath.
And I'm Matt Turner. This is the podcast where we ask you, the listener, to give us a title of a movie that doesn't exist. Yet.
We then collaborate to create a pitch for that movie, complete with casting, story beats, and sometimes even marketing.
Without further ado, this week's main feature is...
Fantasy fairy tales.
Fantasy fairy tales. Fairy tale fantasy.
Yes. A long time ago, in a land far, far away.
Apparently. Sure, yeah. You could call Star Wars a fairy tale if you wanted.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time is the one.
That's what I was thinking of.
Once upon a time in a fantasy, a whimsical land.
Yes.
A whimsical land where just round the corner there is a set of woods in which a dark witch lives.
We're not pitching it yet, Matt.
Right.
We're getting way ahead of yourself.
Well, there's a dark witch.
There might be. Who knows? I'm just looking at the titles now.
Any dark witches in there?
There may be a dark witch.
Dark magic?
There may be a dark witch.
Shadow magic or something?
I think so.
The shadows?
But that's what we're doing. We're pitching some fairy tale movies.
Kingdom Hearts?
Kingdom Hearts?
Darkness? Darkness? Darkness?
No.
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 Okay.
We cannot.
All right, yeah, carry on.
So, like, think of your Snow White, your Seven Dwarves.
Yes.
The sequel movie.
The movie, yeah.
They got rid of Snow White and we're just like, let's have a movie by ourselves.
Just about those guys.
You've got your Cinderella.
Mm-hmm. Your Tangled.
Tangled, yeah.
But outside of Disney.
The Little Mermaid. That's inside Disney.
Yeah. Outside Disney.
The Dark Crystal.
The Dark Crystal.
Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Never-ending Story.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be lots of little creatures. Goblin,
yeah.
Goblin-esque, strange whimsy.
Little goblins. I'm a little goblin.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
There's also going to be a lot of very sagely provided advice for adults, for children.
Yes.
You know, like, if you don't follow the rules of getting home on time, then a man will steal your skin.
And then tear himself in half from the ankle down.
Yep. Yeah, there's all the comeuppance you can handle in these fairy stories.
Yes, yeah, and also you've forgotten how people are generally good or generally evil. There's no middle ground.
Yes,
at all.
Yeah, and cultivate your opinion on which one they are very quickly.
Yes, definitely, definitely. we're pitching movies based around your titles.
Yes.
That people gave us on the social media. So you can go to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast or Twitter at Life's a Pitch show. We're on Twitter there. And Patreon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch podcast as well. So more about that last one at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So without further ado, let's just get on with pitching some movie ideas for the Hollywood machine.
Hollybobs.
All right, so from Stuart Dunlop, we've got The Witch That Watched.
The Witch That Watched. The evil witch. Is she evil? Maybe.
I guess if you were going to make this movie now, probably not.
Yeah.
Because no one's evil. No one in fairy tales is purely
evil,
as retconned by every movie that's coming out.
Yeah, I think with good reason. I think we've started to realise that a black and white view of morality isn't good for the world.
I think it's very good for the world.
Okay.
To be fair, I think we should have left Maleficent where she was.
Okay, someone's sister has just been robbed or something, right?
Yeah.
Like made a bakery,
yeah,
right, and then the bakery gets broken into and robbed, right, and this younger sister, the kind of Sophie Turner, Maisie Williams age gap,
yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking,
okay,
has seen that they them running off
yeah.
down the road first, and they like set fire to it, and it's all burned down, and all her stuff that she really that she's worked so hard for.
Yeah, for days the town smelt of yeast.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Baked bread.
The one thing that Maisie Williams knows is that someone, like, there's a witch that she saw flying like across the moon.
Yeah.
On a broomstick. She knows also witnessed the crime.
Oh no.
Right? But she's such a recluse. She's like in she lives in the dark forest, like
yeah, yeah.
And at first I think she thinks that it was the witch who did it.
Yeah.
But then they're not these people who she saw running off, they're not connected to the witch.
Mm.
Like she thinks like I've got to find she's a witness.
Yeah.
Like she will have seen who
So Maisie Williams goes to find the witch who she thinks watched
yeah.
the bakery been burned down.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. To try and do so. And I think on her way she meets some strange characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll just leave that there.
No, I think
there's an episodic element to this movie.
No, I think like she gets into scrapes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think she like meets a cat that helps her get out of it, a talking cat.
Okay.
That helps her get out of it.
Yeah.
She gets like properly lost in the woods,
mm.
right? And she's getting like chased by. I don't know why I just thought of this time. My brain's fucked.
Okay.
I don't know why I thought she. I was like, she's getting chased by a man who's also a shark. Just the head and body of a shark.
That's the kind of thing Grimm Brothers would come up with.
Yeah.
Right? And she was chased by the man with the body of a
and
shark.
And then the cat's like, if sharks stop moving, they drown. All you have to do is lure him into a pit. So she lures him into a pit.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, if I stop moving, I'll drown. So she lets him out.
This is what I love about fairy tales.
She says, promise me you won't eat me. And he goes, okay, okay. And then she lets down a net and he keeps moving. And then,
but I am a shark, so I must eat things.
You must eat something.
Yeah.
But I think that for the rest of the movie, he's just running around her in circles. And we're talking, it's like a bodysuit, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's a full body shark suit.
I'm imagining street sharks.
Yeah.
He's on rollerblades.
Yeah, but he's got no clothes on.
No.
Like, he's not...
Who's playing the shark?
That's a good question.
Keegan-Michael Key.
Keegan-Michael Key. He's like, I gotta run! I gotta keep running!
I'm gonna drown! In the air!
Yeah, that's just how this works.
Yeah.
Anyway... She goes on. She starts learning all through various means, ways and means.
Mm.
She starts learning how to do, like, to trick people. Or she finds, and I think, like, she gets to a place where she, goes into a haunted house.
Yeah.
That is quite reminiscent of her own childhood house.
Oh, yeah.
But it's all messy.
Mm.
And, maybe it's the fact that she, like, she never kept a tidy house at home, but she's gotten, like, the reason she wasn't able to stop her sister's bakery being burned down because she was too messy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. She had
don't to be messy,
her,
kids.
She had to finish her chores.
That's
and
yeah, yeah.
Therefore, she didn't get to go to lock the door fast enough, and therefore she feels responsible.
I think she goes to get the witch.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have that element to it. And I think it was her that burned it down. She's chasing after the witch because she thought the witch had done it.
Yeah.
Where in fact, the witch shows her at the end...
That she did it. I was going for a thing where, like, she ties up this haunted house.
Yeah.
And the haunted house is like, thank you, you've given me what I needed, which is to be tidy.
Yeah.
Falls down. The only it all collapses because it was the ghost of a house.
Yeah.
The only thing that's left over is the broom she was holding.
Yeah.
And then she carries on. She's been lost in this woods for months, right? Anyway, she learns from a magic cave a spell to go back in time to try and stop her.
But she is the witch.
She's the witch that watched.
Very clever.
And so she became the witch and finds out who did it.
Yeah.
She can't go back fast enough because if she there's the time paradox thing where if she goes back to stop the bakery, then she'll never become a witch. But importantly, she does get to tell the guards and her sister who done it.
Yeah.
And then all the baddies who burned down the bakery because they were, I don't know, racist or something, against elves, they eat their own knees.
Yeah. They just chomp on their own knees.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're punished. Yeah. They're punished. Like, there's no hanging or anything like that. It's just like, you've got to eat your own knees.
Yep.
Yeah, you're not leaving this room.
We don't have capital punishment here, but...
we have something way worse.
Probably worse.
Yeah.
Is you've got to curl up into a ball and just eat your own knees.
That would be... like, yeah. Like, it's not the death penalty. It's not prison. You've just got to eat your own knees.
Yep. You get locked in a box,
like
curled up in the fetal position, and you get released if you've eaten your own knees.
Yeah. You've got 2 days.
Otherwise, you don't get any food.
You've got 2 days.
And you've got as long as it takes you to starve.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's either that or prison.
Yeah.
It's either that or death. And yeah, it's terrible times.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But you shouldn't have burned down that bakery.
Yeah, exactly. You shouldn't have been racist.
Yeah.
All right, so from Terry Silver, we've got The Selfish Egg.
The Selfish Egg.
Yeah.
Well... here's a fun thing. Dragons are pretty selfish.
Oh, yeah.
Dragon egg.
Mm.
The idea being, like, it's already as an egg. This is going to be perfect for your ideas of fairy tales at the moment, Tom.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting a vibe that you're very, like...
I'm sick of them.
You, like, predestiny. Some things are predestined to be evil.
Yeah, yeah.
Goblins predestined to be evil, etc. Well, this dragon.
Yeah.
It's not out of the egg yet.
Yeah, yeah. It's already...
it's already pretty, selfish.
It's walking around, legs poking out of the bottom.
Yep. And sitting on people's gold.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's running around town, just, like, not setting fire to stuff.
Yeah, can't do that yet.
No, it can't do that yet, but it's like, I'm going to take your gold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, it can talk through the egg. It's like, I'm going to take your gold. Give me your gold. Or I'll burn your house down. It's Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Voicing this dragon.
Yeah.
Because it's Bane, effectively. Give me your gold! This baby
Give
dragon.
Give me your gold, Fantasy Town! Give me your gold!
So he's just running from town to town.
Yeah.
And he's in a giant nest up in the mountains. Because the dragon's been slayed.
Yeah. And the only thing left is this egg.
Yeah.
And
which they forgot about. And you feel quite sympathetic towards it.
So the backdrop of this is that the king was great friends with the dragon who got slayed.
Oh yeah.
Right? And then another knight from another kingdom came in.
Yeah.
And the king and the dragon had settled their differences.
Yeah.
Right? They'd become friends after a long period of enmity.
Yes.
Right? Eventually, peace was made, and then some prince, from some fuck off kingdom, who wants to date this guy's daughter, like goes and just stabs the dragon to death, right?
Yeah.
And so the king's like, right, it's illegal to fucking touch that dragon egg.
Yeah.
You better, because he's forgotten.
You've got to appease the dragon.
He's forgotten that this dragon that he met, his best friend, the dragon, used to be. A fucking terror.
Yeah.
Right? Used to be selfish and greedy and stole and all that sort of stuff and a tyrant.
Mm.
A bit until they'd made friends eventually.
Yeah.
And now this egg's running around.
Yeah.
The king said, you better not fucking mess with that egg.
Do whatever the egg wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the egg... is the son of my best friend.
Exactly.
The dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the egg can do anything it wants. And the egg is a prick.
It's being a prick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, basically, the fairy tale of this is the egg, like, and a pauper.
Mm.
A poor child. An orphan. A
little orphan.
Learning, like, they learn from each other somehow. I don't know what the egg learns not to be selfish,
yeah.
And the orphan child learns to breathe fire. Eating a load of chilies.
Well, I think the orphan child should side with the egg. Like, the egg's going around, it's like, I want all the gold, but I don't have any arms.
You, I've got arms?
You, orphan child, carry my gold.
Oh, it's got to be a kid who's like got a bit of that kind of like Oliver Twist nouse to him. And I think, you know, I want all the gold, but I don't have any. I want all the gold, but I don't have any arms to carry them. Hey, you, I've got some arms.
There's a carriage chase in which they've loaded all the gold up onto this carriage, and the egg is like, just come on, let's go. And then they're being chased by the police,
the evil prince, not the evil prince, but the fuck boy prince, we'll call him, right? Probably played by who plays a good fuck boy.
Who's Agent Smith in the new Matrix movie?
I don't know.
And King George in Hamilton. What's that guy's name?
Groff. Jonathan Groff.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Jonathan Groff, the fuckboy prince.
Yeah.
Who slew the dragon,
that's,
right?
That's his full name, is it? Jonathan Groff, the fuckboy prince.
Yeah. He's like, I was denied half a kingdom because that king didn't want me to marry his daughter because I killed his friend or whatever.
Yeah.
I'll take that hoard. I'll take that. I'll take that, the half a kingdom that now this egg is stealing.
Yes. Yeah. So he's going up, I can slay an egg.
Yeah.
I can slay an egg.
Easy.
And they get up to the nest, which is now filled with gold, and there's with an egg sat on top of it.
Yeah.
And a little boy at the bottom.
Yeah.
And he's like, out of the way, pauper. I'm going to crack this egg right open and slay the dragon inside. And then the pauper breathes fire on
this. Because there's a whole bit where like they go and he's like, all these foods that I never thought I could try.
Yeah.
And he starts like learning to cook.
Yeah.
And all that sort of thing. And what he finds is he's eating all these sweet treats. He loves them. But the things he likes the best are the spicy things.
Yeah.
He loves chilies and he loves chili oil and he loves all that.
So he learns how to the dragon's sort of like, eat this and you'll eat these chilies.
Yeah.
That's what dragons did back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a special dragon chili, like,
that only
grows in the mountain where the dragon
lives.
That's
good. And if humans eat it, they can also breathe fire.
Yeah.
And this isn't explained until after.
Until after. Well done, pauper.
Yeah.
You breathed fire because you ate the special dragon chili that's only grown in the mountains. Yeah, like, it's a whole
And the whole crowd cheers as Prince Fuckboy
runs off with his head on fire.
It's not like he's burnt to a crisp or melted. No. It's a much more Home Alone kind of vibe.
He's sort of like strafing,
meandering
along, running left to right to left to right. He runs
all the way down the mountain to the river where he dunks his bottom in the river that's on fire. He's like, ooh!
Yeah, and that's the end of the movie.
That's the end of the movie.
I'll never do that again. says Jonathan Groff.
Yeah. The selfish egg. So, from Tomasz Chorakowski, we've got, is that a goblin in your pocket?
Is that a goblin in your pocket? Okay. I think the whimsical world of this is like, there are like, you know, strict rules about like
what you can have in your pocket.
Well, what, you know, what's allowed in your
pocket.
Yes, but by virtue of other rules, which are things like, those are the implicit rules, right?
Yeah.
You're not allowed a goblin in your pocket because you're not allowed a goblin in town.
Yeah, I think that Moses dropped one of the stone tablets before he read out the Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt not put a goblin in your pocket.
Yeah, in a kind of entire history of the world bit where he stands on top of Mount Sinai and goes, I've got 15 commandments, drops one of the tablets.
Oops.
10 commandments. One of them is, thou shalt not have a little goblin in your pocket.
So I think this is, I mean, we could make this a magic portal.
Yeah.
But I think it would work as a regular fantasy, as in a standard fairy tale fantasy where, you know, kid is brought up in, a castle walls sort of situation in the town, and there's a walled town and all that thing.
Mm.
And the rule is that you don't, if you leave town, you have to, like, it's almost like, the TSA.
Yeah.
You know, you take everything out of your pockets, you put them on the side, some guy, and we can do a kind of Shrek-like,
Of,
you walk through an archway.
Yes.
And what does the archway do? It's got a little magician man behind it who goes like, no bad magic in there, like in your bags. And, you know, we see like someone turn, they've been out to grab apples from the orchard.
Yeah.
They're bringing them to town to sell at the market. They put all their big bag of apples out in the on the TSA like baggage handling scanning thing. And then someone goes, this person has brought a stinky magic wand. And he's like, but it's for my wife. She's ill. And then they go, get him out of here.
Cut to guillotine.
Yeah. He just killed.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately killed.
It's a cutthroat world.
Yeah.
Is sort of medieval renaissance or pre-renaissance.
Yeah.
Europe, I guess.
Well, that's the kind of place we're going to be.
Yeah.
But, like, I think that, the whole thing is, it's like a post Sleeping Beauty world.
Yeah.
Right? In that, you know, bad witch, bad forces have taken most of the world. These are the few little points of light. And so, like, In order to sort of like keep the land safe, they keep magic out of the cities and out of the towns.
I think this is the story of a prince who is told to never go outside the boundaries of the walls of the town, city, because magic lives out there.
Yeah,
and one day, in his bedside table, he opens it. And there's just like a little goblin man.
Oh, I think he goes and gets the goblin, Tom.
Really?
Because that's how he's got to have his punishment, right? Of the sort of like, he's got to transgress, like all kids do. He's got to transgress and he's got to come back and then realise he's brought a goblin, the very thing he's been taught to fear, into the town with him.
But, right, I think this little goblin should trick him into going out. This evil little goblin, this inherently evil goblin.
Oh, I see, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I see where we've come to this this impasse.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking we'd do a sort of like, oh, it's a fairy tale fantasy, but actually I'm thinking Pixar, right?
Mm.
Where I'm thinking we show the old too scared thing, the TSA, that kind of
we can have our Pixar bureaucracy as they do in every movie,
right? But I'm saying that like the people who don't want to explore in this for me are wrong. I think in your version you're like more sort of middle German sensibilities of we must punish this child for leaving.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Right.
We definitely punish this child for leaving.
Because I was thinking we'd do kid goes because of natural childish exploration instincts.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Brings back goblin.
Well, that's
and then we have japes within the castle.
Right. Well, we can have both.
I don't know if we can, because I think if the goblin convinces him to go out, most of that story is going to be set out there, right? If he accidentally brings a goblin back in, then the japes around the castle are then going to finally lead him to the third act of go and go to solve whatever problem this goblin has.
Well, so we can have a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this goblin is delivered as a gift from a neighbouring kingdom.
Oh, an evil kingdom.
Yeah, yeah, an evil kingdom. It brings like a
doll.
A music box or something
like that. Yes, so a music box with a little figurine on the top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then eventually, and like it's like a ballet pose. It's like a goblin in a ballet pose.
A little goblin in a tutu. Just like... And the goblin's been told, wait until the first night.
Yeah.
And then you can do your goblin shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he's like, oh, my aching back. Oh, my aching back.
But this goblin is in a tutu the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he loves the tutu.
He gets used to it, yeah.
Yeah. Tiny little goblin.
He's just like, at first I didn't like it, but now I just think it's really good. I just think it suits me.
He's a goblin the size of a finger.
The pink really contrasts with the green of my eyes.
And the prince is like, but what?
Goblin's played by Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, yeah.
Or Elijah Wood, I can't decide.
Oh, either or.
One of those
two. I think, yeah. So this evil thing, just to make peace... Yeah. Has brought gifts for everyone.
Yeah.
And they've given like nice gifts. So this is how they've managed to get it through the security forces on the border. TSA. So it's like for the king, they've brought like a crown.
Yeah.
For the queen, they've brought like a bunch of amazing flowers.
Yeah.
And then for the prince, they brought this little music box.
Yeah.
That play. What song does the music box play?
La 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 la.
The EastEnders theme song.
La 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 la.
So I think this goblin, because it's one of those things where it's like that this kingdom is envied, and this evil king has gone. We can't destroy them from. Outside,
from without, yeah,
we've got to destroy them from within.
So they.
And what's
so
the most corruptible thing? Is a child's mind.
The key to the kingdom is to the heir.
Yes.
Right. And does that mean that the story is kid goes out, gets into a whole goblin mess?
Oh well, I think they should.
He goes drinking in a goblin bar with all these little borrower-sized goblins.
It's like his head barely fits in the door.
Giving him thimble after thimble full of booze.
Yeah. They fucking love vodka.
Yeah. It's a cross between like vodka and fizzy lifting drink. So but he's got his head in the bar, so his little feet are just dangling upwards from outside. While inside we are part of a big like magic dance style labyrinth song and dance number.
Yeah.
Inside that tavern, his head is like looking around and experiencing and singing along with these outside, we just cut outside, we can just hear bass.
Yeah.
And then his feet are just drifting upwards as everyone else is like going, "Whoa, the topsy-turvy dance."
You're just hearing bass. Like you stood outside a nightclub. Yeah. This is underneath like a tavern.
Yeah.
Like an old Tudor style tavern. And I think, we do have that scene.
Yeah.
We've also got him like walking around the market and the little gums are going, "Go on. Steal." just anything. He's not going steal that like apple or something. He just goes steal.
Yeah.
The
concept of stealing, I'm encouraging you to do it.
Yeah.
They've stolen his. So while when he blacked out drunk from the tavern, they stole his money and then they told him that he lost it.
Yeah.
Also, like, it's girls as well. Bad, obviously, because we're kind of Christian conservatives here.
Yeah, yeah.
So he like gets off with the lady in the lake, and then
there's a lady in the lake.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And then the goblins all tell him that he lost, that the women stole his money. And he's like, oh, well, I guess that's what's going to be happening for the rest of my life.
I'm never going to trust women anymore.
And
how does this film end?
I think that he finds out that not only is, you know, he's being lied to by these goblins who are pretending to be his friends.
Yeah.
But also he while they are like, you know, gloating and running around because they've been on the run.
Mm.
They've been on the run from a butcher who they've stolen stolen all the takings from, money.
This prince has just gone downhill.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
From the moment he met this goblin.
And while the goblins are all figuring out or arguing how to spend money, Prince is like, or he's like, oh, what's going on here then?
Yeah.
Remember something his mum told him.
Yeah.
About always paying attention to your surroundings or whatever, and he like nicks off with their little orb they've got.
It's their
talking orb to the king.
Yeah,
right. And he looks into it and he sees that he finds out through it that we'll say Christopher Lloyd, the evil goblin king.
Yeah,
is planning on assassinating his mum, the queen.
Oh.
So that when he gets back to the kingdom, he'll now be this bad guy who will let all the goblins into the kingdom because he'll take the throne.
Yeah.
Right? He has to rush back and then using the power, because of course he's all dirty now. He's all like got all this. He's not got his princely garms on anymore.
Mm.
So he has to sneak past the TSA using the new roguely skills that he had, his stealing skills and all that sort of thing. I think one of the goblins is sympathetic to him.
Nah.
No?
No, I think they're all terrible. Just,
he's got to have a companion, Tom.
No. It's like if Jiminy Cricket was all right.
His new girlfriend
was fucked.
The Lady of the Lake.
Yeah. Like, Jiminy Cricket was like, yeah, get on that barge.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good time.
His new girlfriend, the Lady in the Lake, accompanies him just so that there's some dialogue at some point in the last act. As he like clambers over the city walls and essentially assaults the castle in order to stop the assassination of his mum.
Yeah.
And then eventually he doesn't manage it. He takes the throne, but then he goes to war with the goblins.
Yeah, because the goblins are like, I want to fight the other goblins. So the evil wins.
Yeah.
It's a cautionary tale. It's a cautionary tale.
Or, Tom, other pitch is he stops the assassination, right? And, Christopher Lloyd eats his own knees because he's so angry.
the evil king is like, damn, my goblin plan didn't work. Well, best eat my knees.
Best eat my knees.
There you have it. Is that a goblin in your pocket? So those were all our titles.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, who gave us fairy tale titles.
Yes.
Hope you've enjoyed those wonderful... wonderful flights of fancy.
Flights of fantasy.
Yes, yes. Remember, you can go to facebook.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast, Twitter @ Life's a Pitch Show, and patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast there to give us a follow, give us a like, and give us your titles.
Yes, indeed. And of course, we thank those people who do over on patreon.com/ Life's a Pitch Podcast, because those are the people keeping the podcast going.
Mm.
Basically, they fund this that you're listening to now. So if you want to get involved, please go over to Patreon. Give us as little as $1 a month. I cannot. It's just so little money.
It's tiny.
It's a tiny amount. And you get your name read out on the show. And you get to feel like you are contributing to a thing that is putting... That people generally seem to like.
Yeah.
We would like to say thank you to Spanky, Angelic Core Ross, Get yourself a naughty worm bucket meal. Stephen D. Thomas. Jingle bells, orcs do smell. We're going to keep flogging this Christmas episode until we get off our arses and make a new one. Or fingers to hand. Lisan Al-Ghaib taking the ginger electrician's wife to Finger Avenue while he sorts your fuses out. James Delaney. Me chanting worm, worm, worm. You chanting worm, worm, worm. The entire theatre chanting worm, worm, worm. It was me all along. The name's Gumboot. Ptolemy Gumboot. Chicago PD. Retired. There. See. A confession. Case closed. Rebecca, enter film quote here later, Beachy. Wish I'd gone to gut level now. Hell, even climbing would be better than this downpour of offal. Brent Black. Question box. Retired. Thanks, Inspector. You did it. Lock them up and have the keys shut. And young Thomas. Never flitting. Still is sitting. Still is sitting. On the bust of Matthew, just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a Joseph Hegarty. That is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er them streaming throws their podcast upon the floor. And my soul from out that shadow lies floating on the floor, perched, sat, considered, Matt, a bird, the inspector, nevermore. The serial dragon and family. But it is, returned she, for Mrs. Long has just been here, and she told me all about it. Deny human, deny human, deny human! Lexator Parsnack and his revolving spice mines. You want the Patreon name-length secret? We have a Bene Gesserit who just shouts, longer. Hark, the herald angels sing of the second Patreon account I created to join this stupid ARG. Duncan Idaho being a brat and saying no when the big lady tells him what to do. Zoe wearing a cone of silence to the cinema and everybody thinks you're just a fucking, puppy. You idiots are gonna get caught by the voice. Time to cancel Tom for being a pink-eared commie who hides under beds. Nutmeg, the lachrymose donkey. Thank you to all those people.
Thank you to everyone on our Patreon list. And I just want to put it out there. Mm. Now, I'm part of a theatre group called SideQuest.
You are?
We do made-up fairy tales.
I've seen those.
Yeah. So if you want to come along to one of those shows, you can find us on Facebook. By going to SideQuest on Facebook. We're doing a bunch of shows outside of Sheffield over the next few months. So there's one in Nottingham on the 12th of April. Mm. I think we're doing one in Manchester in June or July. And we're just going around. I think we're doing a few festivals. We're doing the Edinburgh Fringe Festival as well.
Ooh.
This year in August. So, yeah, if you want to give us a follow on Facebook, and Instagram as well. We're on Instagram.
Yep.
SideQuest. We've got like a little dice with a question mark on it, which is part of the show. We get suggestions from the audience, much like this show. We get suggestions for the audience of character names.
Yep.
And the title of the show.
And a lot like this show, not improv.
No, not improv. It's not improvised. Well, it is improvised, but it's not improv. So, yeah.
Apparently, some people care about that word.
Apparently so. If I've not mentioned it before, I'm pretty sure I have. But yeah, we're doing a bunch of shows in the
next
few months.
Go see them, everyone, especially if there's one near you.
Yes, and because it's a fairy tale episode I've done today, I thought, oh, I'll bring that up because it's very fairy tale based, the shows we do. So, yes, we end the show as we always do. With the S Very Clever Award, which is the award we give out to someone who's given us a title based around an existing title and just had a bit of fun with it. So this week it goes to Angelic Core Ross on Patreon, who's given us Goldilocks Stocks and Free Smoking Bears.
That's cool.
It's very...
That's a fun little gangster movie about bears.
Yeah, and Goldilocks. Porridge. Yeah. Yep. So until next week, I've been Tom McGrath.
I've been Matt Turner.
Remember who pitched it.